and souls. There are things that I'm sure trouble you that no one else knows about. There are things that trouble me because life is complicated and we are fearful. Life has a lot of twists and turns in it, and there are times when we are quite fearful. And then we look at our world, the world around us, and our planet, and the things that are happening in our world politically, and the things that are happening in terms of war, and the way that in which people are being killed mercilessly in various places. There are things that are desperate and terrible. And so that's what we can't leave that out and kind of say, well, here we are, we're all just sort of getting through this in the sense that it doesn't matter. It matters to us because that's perhaps why we're here. It matters to us because we want meaning in our lives. We want to find meaning and purpose as we go forward in life. And we want to have a sense that there is a way in which we can understand God's love and power in the world, because we are called to minister to a dying world. We are called to care for the world around us. I'm often concerned with the way in which people sometimes use Christianity or use the faith, which is it becomes a little bit of a slogan, or it becomes something that we just kind of set aside for this, special occasions that we kind of bring out of the box or the closet or wherever when we need it. We don't relate it to our everyday life. And then there are people who use things to do with God because they have a purpose for that. They have a reason for taking God out of context to support their particular point of view or opinion on something. Or they use God because they want to criticize or condemn other people. This is not the God we find in the New Testament. This is not the God of Jesus. This is that we can't divorce God, and we can't divorce our faith from our practice, from the way in which we live our lives every day. God is not a slogan. Jesus is not a convenience. We are called to live our lives as if faith is all that really counts. And sometimes we say, well, why does there not seem to be enough faith? And why do we worry so much, even as the church? And remember that the disciples in today's gospel represent the church as the ship does. Why do we worry so much? Where is our faith? Well, the answer to this, of course, is very complicated, but the basic answer is that sometimes we don't step out in faith. We don't have a sense that God is calling us, that God will care for us, that God will lead us. We sometimes just kind of shrink away from things. Last Sunday, I used this example in my gospel, in my sermon about how I remember being at a clergy meeting where we needed to do some special project in the diocese, and someone said, well, it's just not the time. And of course, nobody will ever say, well, now's the time. We shy away because we lack that confidence and that faith. So why sometimes do we not seem to have enough faith? Because we don't do things that require it. And that's something for us to think of as a church, something for us to think of in our daily lives. Why do we not have enough faith? Because we don't do things that require faith. We need to move forward and to take that bold step. And where I'm going with this, of course, is to think of the second part of this gospel today, which is the story of Peter. And Peter represents often the church. The symbolism of Peter as the head of the disciples, we might say. And so Peter says, well, I'm going to come to you, Lord. And Jesus says, come. And of course, he begins to sink because he looks around and he sees the wind and the waves. And you and I would do the same thing. Now, we know that the walking on the water here is not something that you and I are likely to be able to do. But the point of this story is that when Jesus calls Peter to him, Peter steps out in faith, but then his faith starts to weaken. His faith shrinks because he sees all the things around him that his mind sort of goes to. I'm going to sink. The wind is going to come up. And because he takes his eye off Jesus, because he stops thinking about God's call to him, when he stops thinking about Jesus, he starts to sink. And Jesus calls him, pulls him forward, and picks him up. And I think that for us as individuals and as the church is a very important image. As I said earlier, you and I have things in our lives that worry us, that we have concerns and fears. And from time to time we do, and sometimes we look for a way to understand these things, a way to find comfort and purpose and meaning, a way to get through them. And sometimes we just think of Peter, who looks at Jesus and says, "Lord, save me." Perhaps that's all that really we ever need to do, is simply utter this very simple prayer, "Lord, save me." Sometimes we think of faith as being very complicated. Well, it's not. Sometimes saying, "Lord, save me," is as much as we ever would need to do. And so as Jesus picks Peter up and puts him back in the ship, in the boat, the disciples worship him. As I said at the beginning, they say, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And I want to emphasize that worship is something that is part of our Christian journey, is a part of our experience as God's people. That we can't divorce what we, you know, our the details of our faith and our lives from the need for us to simply empty ourselves before God and ask God to fill us with His Spirit and His power. So often people think of worship as kind of an extra thing, but worship is the thing that opens us to the grace and power and love of God. So we come here this morning as the people of God, knowing that God has lifted us up and called us to new life through our baptism. In fact, we might even see this picture of Peter in the water as an example of baptism, that we are a people who have been raised to new life, who come to the altar of God to receive this miracle of bread and wine, this miracle of the body and blood of Jesus, the food and drink of eternal life. And surely each one of us can say, as we receive this wonderful gift, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And now to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be all might, majesty, dominion, and power, henceforth and forevermore. Amen. Amen.